American woman. It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMonson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. We'll keep you apprised of upcoming guests. We've got our great podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Monson, as well as our op-eds. And be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. A great show planned for you today. We'll go through some headlines in this first segment. Second segment, Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas founded I'm a Trumpster, and they're actually going to be having a new show on KLZ 560 on Sunday afternoons. They are good new friends of mine, and so we'll be talking about that. And then Kim Ransom, she is a representative. She's my representative here in Colorado, and she's on the Joint Budget Committee. Apparently, the House passed the budget yesterday, and so you're going to want to know what is in that. As we look at these issues, we have to look at them with critical thinking. It is amazing to me that there are very educated people that I run into that do not use critical thinking. And the place where that starts is Rudyard Kipling's quote, where he says, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." And, you know, just on that, when we see all these riots that have been going on in the different cities, how is it that these rioters just happen to have bricks? Apparently, there's been some video, Steve, of people dropping off bricks during the day so that the rioters have them at night so that they can throw them at windows and destroy property. How does that happen, Steve? How does that happen, Producer Steve?
First of all, it's nice to have you on the other side of the glass, not to give away secrets, but I was getting ready to put a picture on the glass. So that's what she looks like. Welcome back. Not only the bricks, but now more information is coming out in terms of zone organizers, for lack of a better term, that the Antifa guys, they actually put somebody out there with some ability to communicate information. He's out two or three blocks ahead of where the mayhem is and giving instructions to say, hey, the police have just done this, they've done that, you need to come this way, go that way. So, yeah, it's orchestrated. It's not just willy-nilly.
And so the question is why? So why is this happening? Aren't they trying to foment division here in America? You know, it's both Abraham Lincoln said it, as well as it's in the Bible. Christ said it, that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so are they trying to make America fall? You know, that's one of the big questions out there.
Every time that question comes up, is this their intent? My first reaction is, what happens if you make it come about? Well, are you ready for that?
You know what? We've actually had a preview of what that's going to look like. First of all, with the whole COVID-19 thing and with the overreach of government. Now, Steve, I guess we will give away a secret. It's been 2 months since I've been in the studio, and you have and Crawford has given me a rig that it sounds like I'm basically in the studio. And so one has to ask, you know, why, you know, through the whole COVID-19 thing, when we first found out there was a coronavirus, I think it was prudent to take a pause, you know, to try to get our brain around this. But what we saw then is these politicians and bureaucrats and all these interested parties took this as a power grab. They shut down people's lives. They told people they had to stay quarantined in their home. And there is something down the pike, my friends, that you need to be aware of, is they are not thinking about relinquishing this power. Last week I was on a call with Senator Michael Bennett, and he and Representative Crow here in Colorado, if there was ever a reason to not vote Democrat, it would be because of what I heard that day, and then Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. The three of them are proposing a national health force. And what that would include would be contact tracing. That means that they would trace you. So if you're at a restaurant and the person next to you that is also signed in, they come down with COVID-19, then they want to trace all those people that were near them. And then they talk about testing, so you would be tested. But the test that they administer many times may give you a false positive, or if you have it, you're getting a negative. And then treatment. Treatment could be that they would actually take you out of your home and quarantine you someplace else. And we saw that with the Ventura County, California health director, health department director was on YouTube, and I watched the whole thing. That is what he said. He walked it back a couple of days later. But my friends, that is what's coming down the pike. That's what they have planned. And that is why we need to push back on that. So, Senator Rob Wood, well, let's go to our quote. Steve, before we do that, though, I guess I'm back in the studio and I have a lot to say here now that I'm on the other side of the glass with you. So it's
you go. Before you do the quotes and the person responsible for these quotes, I told you before how coincidental it is that sometimes when these quotes go right to the heart of a headline. And the quote is how many years ago? You know, in this case, is we're talking about 300 years.
Yeah, 300 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
200 years.
200 years, yeah.
250 years. Yeah, 200 some years ago.
But that sets the stage for this. Continue, please.
Well, and before I do that, it is so important that we are grateful. You know, typically we like to lead the day off with a prayer. And we're looking out this window and looking at the creation here. Means that there's a lot to be grateful for. And if you're grateful, that means you are grateful to some being, the creator. And so I'm also grateful for this wonderful team that I get to work with. Crawford Broadcasting, Steve, Patty, Zach, Keith, and Charlie. I value you all immensely. And each of you listeners, I value each of you as well. And you have a purpose today. Go out and do your best. Be industrious. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our quote for today is William Pitt. And William Pitt was best friends with William Wilberforce, who Wilberforce was instrumental in shutting down the British slave trade. And they were both in Parliament together, and so they were best friends. And William Pitt, the younger, was a prominent British Tory statesman of the late 18th and early 19th centuries. He became the youngest Prime Minister of Great Britain in 1783 at the age of 24, and the first Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland as of January 1801. He left office in March of 1801, but served as Prime Minister again from 1804 until his death in 1806. He was also, a Chancellor for, is it Equestrian? I meant to look that up, and I forgot to do that. For all of his time as Prime Minister, he is known as the younger to distinguish himself from his father, William Pitt, 1st Earl of Chatham, who is customarily referred to as William Pitt the Elder, and had previously served as Prime Minister. And interestingly, William Pitt, he was born in 1759, died in 1806 at the age of 46. And this is what he had to say. Was not necessity the plea of every illegal exertion of power or exercise of oppression? Necessity is the plea for the very infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. And that really hits you, Steve, particularly with the headline that Patty pulled out regarding Senator Rob Woodward from the Loveland area, who has put forth some legislation. He files a joint resolution to revoke the governor's disaster declaration. He did this on Wednesday morning, and the disaster emergency was declared on March 26th. It's been renewed every 30 days since. And the disaster declaration grants the governor additional emergency powers under the state statute. And this is what Woodward said. He said, the legislature allowed you significant leeway to respond to COVID-19. In March, you declared a disaster emergency that was supposed to last 30 days. You then renewed that declaration two more times through June 6th. During that time, you have taken the liberty to assert many powers historically reserved to the legislature, amending a suspending statute, spending state money, and much more. Furthermore, some would argue that you have exceeded your executive authority and infringed upon the liberties of the people of Colorado. Your time is up. Steve, that is pretty amazing. Thank you, Senator Rob Woodward. We talk about where is leadership. There's some real leadership right there, producer Steve.
His wording is excellent, and he tells the tale as it is. But I just love it. His final phrase there, your time is up. I think, wow.
And to that point, emergency declaration for 30 days, that should have been it. Now we have seen this tremendous overreach of power. One of the things that he did is regarding due date too late, you know, which is the initiative that Giuliani Day has been working so hard to get on the ballot. It looks like that's going to make it. They had over 30,000 signatures on this. They needed to get additional signatures, and so it looks like that's going to be on the ballot. And Governor Polis required that those signatures be done in person, that they be notarized. And then guess what? All of these new initiatives that they want to try to get on the ballot in November, you know, all of these overreaching ones, he says via executive order that people can sign those via email or mail-in. You think there might be a little bit of fraud on that, Steve?
Oh, let's open the door as wide as we can.
Yep. So Senator Woodward, thank you so much for doing that.
Didn't he, amongst the many other things, I mean, didn't he... Was it the CARES money that came from the feds that he decided how it was going to be dispersed? And he bypassed the committee?
Well, yes, he actually, that was supposed to go to the counties and to the municipalities. He hijacked that money. He actually, I think, determined about, I want to say it was about $1.64 billion where that money would go. Then the balance he gave to the legislature and just totally... you know, cut the municipalities and the counties out. Now, one other thing that Patty has on here is after Senator Woodward issued this, did you see the next headline here? This is from KDVR, that Governor Jared Polis modified the state safer at home guidelines Monday, relaxing some of the restrictions aimed at slowing the spread of the coronavirus. The edited executive order is now titled Safer at Home in the Vast Great Outdoors and is extended until July 1st. Under the previous Safer at Home order, people over 65 or with underlying health conditions were required to stay home unless absolutely necessary. Under the edited order, these groups are now encouraged to also enjoy Colorado's outdoor spaces at a safe social distance. Is that what they're doing down at the Capitol downtown every night? Are they enjoying the great outdoors at a safer distance?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
Breathing that fresh air. When there's no tear gas in it.
And why is it the age of 65? You know, how about if there's a very healthy 65-year-old that, you know, is in great shape? Why would they be required to stay at home when you might have an obese 40-year-old that is encouraged to be out and about? This is age discrimination when he comes out with something like that. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, the restaurants are starting to open up. And actually, you can go to Hooters restaurants and enjoy their fabulous smoked wings, half the calories. So you can actually enjoy them in the restaurant. But still, I think a lot of people are going to be using their curbside service at order.hooters.com. So you can be sure and do that as well. Order your Hooters wings or any of their other delicious food. You can pick it up and take it home. So for more information, go to order.hooters.com with the order of adult entree. You can actually, the kids will eat free, so that's a kind of a cool thing as well. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas in a very interesting story. They founded I'm a Trumpster. They've been in the entertainment business, black entertainment business, for many years, and they said they heard a candidate that was talking about intellectual property. And that really caught their attention because they would create things, send them over to China for production, as, you know, a lot of our things have been produced over there. And their product would come back, but then they'd also see their product had been knocked off and they had been sold without them getting any of the royalties from their intellectual property. And they heard a candidate talking about intellectual property. They said, who is that? It was Donald Trump. And at that point in time, Reggie said He's my man. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Reggie Carr. Stay tuned.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And please go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. I am just thrilled to have on the line with me my friends Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas. Welcome to the show, Reggie and Johnny.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you? Good morning.
You are going to be joining me as a KLZ host. Starting this Sunday, you have your own show coming up on Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock. Do I have that right, Reggie?
Yes, ma'am. And we'll be glad to join the family.
Very excited about that. Now, Johnny, you and Reggie have been in the entertainment business for many, many years. And you have started I'm a Trumpster. Why did you do that, Johnny?
Well, I mean, I guess it's one of those things where I got to give the credit to my partner, Reggie. He actually started it, you know what I'm saying? As you stated, he heard Donald Trump speaking and talking about intellectual property. And at that moment, you know what I'm saying, we knew we had somebody who could relate to us, because we're creators. We create music, we create product, we create a lot of different things to sell. So at that end, because we have been hijacked, and you get your ideas hijacked, we send it, like you say, over to China, come back, we got it, so we think it's exclusive and we're the only one have it. Then all of a sudden we walking down the street, I'm like, hey, how did they get that? So, at the end, we were like, you know what? And then when President Trump came on and started talking about it, we knew right then we had somebody that was on our side. So we said, you know what? Let's start I'm a Trumpster. Let's start I'm a Trumpster. So that's actually what we did, and that's how it became a brand.
Well, and Reggie Carr, you actually you'd written one of the top songs in the Colorado area some years ago. Tell us just a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, we did. Johnny was involved with that, too. We did a song for the Denver Broncos called Salute When We Hit 'Em. And we were in Atlanta working on a project for overseas in Europe. And, you know, the Broncos are my team. And I said, I think they're going to actually go to the Super Bowl this year and win. And so wrote a song, sent it to Denver. I think it was KS 107.5 or something.
I think so.
Sent it to Jennifer Wilde. And, like, in 2 days, she called us back and was like, hey, you know, you guys, I don't know what's going on, but you guys got the number one song in Denver, Colorado. We're like, what? He goes, like, can you get out here? I said, well, you're going to have to call the label. And so the label stopped everything in his tracks and flew us out here to come out here. And they treated us well. We was on the parade route, in the newspaper, all of that stuff. So that's how that got started for Colorado.
Well, now, Reggie and Johnny, now, Reggie, you grew up in Colorado. Johnny, did you also grow up in Colorado?
No, I actually grew up in Georgia. I was born in Florida, but I grew up in Georgia.
Okay. So now, and then, Reggie, you had moved to Georgia, and that's where your business was, and you met Donald Trump. You realized that, here was a guy standing up for intellectual property. Property rights they're inherent in the American idea. So it's not just, you know, that physical building or whatever. We're seeing a lot of disrespect for that right now. But intellectual property is also what you come up with in your mind. So the creation of music and books, all that is intellectual property as well. And
correct.
And so when you realize that Donald Trump took that seriously, you said, he's my man. But how did you guys end up from Georgia back up here, Reggie? I know you grew up here, but how did you end up back here in Colorado?
Okay, so I moved from here to Atlanta. That's how I met Johnny. We worked on some projects. We ended up getting a major publishing deal with the Lowry Music Group, and started building our whole thing, and that's what got us to, you know, other major labels and production companies. And so I would come back and forth because Colorado's my home. I was always like, oh, Johnny, you got to come back. You got to come over. Come to Colorado. But my home is here. Everything I started and I owed was here. My mother, everybody was here. So during coming back and forth, you know, my mother got sick, and so I told Johnny, I was like, hey, my mom's sick, so I'm going to have to come to Colorado and be most of the time here. So for the last 5 years, I've been here taking care of my mother, and then I was just flying out. But what we do, we travel a lot, you know, so it's like it's studio. You can be in the studio here. You can be in the studio with technology on the beach, you know, writing and creating. And then, like you said, the intellectual properties of copywriting, trademarking, all that stuff. We can do all that. So we can write the lyrics and everything that we do or for commercials or whatever, and we can just copyright them and do everything and send all that in from our computer. And so it didn't matter where we were, we still were working together. So why I came back to Colorado is because of my mother got sick.
But then you met Donald Trump, if I remember right, and he said, first of all, you know, he went to the black community and he said, what do you have to lose? When you look at what has happened to, you know, like in Chicago, the fact that on Memorial Day, there were 49 shootings in Chicago, and there were 10 people that were killed. And when Donald Trump said to the black community, what do you have to lose? And he was elected before this whole COVID-19 thing, we had the lowest black unemployment, and there is such dignity in work. And so Donald Trump said, we need to go to these blue states like Colorado and see if we can move the needle. And that spoke to your heart, Reggie. So what did you do?
So during this time I was down here, I got the bug from when Donald Trump said, you know, the intellectual properties. I'm just like, wow. So this man is really what we need. So I'm all in. So during my I'm going back and forth, I'm like, okay, what can we do to make this happen? What he's talking about, and I see what he's doing for the black community. So what can we do to put this together and get the word out? And then that's basically how it started everything. I got flew back to Atlanta to meet him, and yes, he definitely was addressing minorities at the World Congress Center for the Black Voices kickoff, and he said, I would like black people to go to the blue states and turn them red and the swing states. And I said, okay, so, you know, Georgia's already a red state, so it just made sense. Everything just fell into place. It was like being directed from God, like, this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it.
So with that, what is your plan? What would you like to do to go into the ethnic neighborhoods here in Colorado? Because every vote that can be generated for Donald Trump, it's going to help all of the Republicans all the way down the ballot. What is your plan to make this happen, Johnny? What are you guys up to?
Well, we said because of our experience and we know what it takes, and we kind of to get our people to just pay attention and listen. So me and Rich, we sat down and we say, hey, let's get this bus. First we said a van, then we're like, no, we got to get a bus. We got to get something that's really large, something that's really big that's going to, we can drive into these minorities, minority neighborhoods, and they're going to pay attention. And then when we get there, you know, they're going to want to know why you're here. And then we're going to teach them. We're going to educate them, let them understand, you know. Because you understand, when Reg came to me and said Donald Trump at first, I you know, me personally, you know what I'm saying, how our families came up, you know, Democrats, I was like, are you crazy? Do you see how everybody's against us, Donald Trump? Then I went in and I started to study. I went and listened. And I say, wow, Donald Trump, he's unbought. He's uncontrollable. He say what he say. He kind of like that. He can't be controlled. I like that. Then he started talking about stuff that I can relate to. And then I start to dig a little deeper and see how he was helping a person, people that look like me. So I was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I became a Trumpster, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead, and it's gonna be a battle, but we're gonna go. We're gonna get this bus. We're gonna wrap it. We're gonna go into neighborhoods, and we're gonna teach the people look what's happening. Because right now, it's just kind of like hearsay. People say, I don't like Donald Trump, or I don't do this, and they're not really digging in and seeing what he's doing. They're not giving them an opportunity. But when we teach them and show them what he's actually doing for us and how he has, you know what I'm saying, he's changed the game, then therefore I think it's going to make a big difference to you.
Okay, so what we need to do, we need to help you guys. You guys have stepped up and you've put your own money into a whole bunch of the I'm a Trumpster with the gear, with, you know, all that you're doing. And you'd like some help. We'd like to raise $10,000 to help you wrap the bus. You guys have arranged to, you went back to New York, you got the bus, it's going to be here next week. We'd like to get it wrapped. And so our Topics and Topics girls, we'll be working on that, but we are going to have a party. And so for anyone that will contribute $50 to I'm a Trumpster, you get to come to the party, which will be, is it June 26th? Is that the day of your mother's birthday? Is that right, Reggie? Is that the day we have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or if you can contribute $100, that would be awesome. And if you contribute $50, you will get to come, be at the party. Actually, we're going to ask everybody to bring something to eat or drink as well so that we don't have any catering costs. And then if you contribute $50, you can get one of these cool battle masks. If you contribute $100, two people can come and you can get two battle masks. And so to go to I'm a Trumpster and contribute. We want to get this started. The bus is going to be here next week. We want to get it wrapped. We need to raise $10,000. And interestingly enough, you've had establishment people that have promised money, and then that it's not come through, and we need to create some excitement. We need to win this election and get focused on something positive. So, gentlemen, I could talk to you much longer. We're about out of time. First of all, thank you. Is there anything else that I have not covered? And there's also going to be, you know, other things that people are going to be in the video. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff we're going to have planned.
No, that covers everything. And thank you very much for your involvement. You've been a big help. And, yes, we have spent a bunch of money out of our own pocket. And 98% of everything has been coming from us. And then people, your crew and people like ourselves, Evie, you know, to put this together. So, yes, we're definitely excited about this. We have the bus. Now we just got to wrap it.
Okay, and that's up to us.
Website.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, that's up to us to help you.
Yeah. Give them the website.
Okay, what is that?
Oh, you want the battle map? Or we're going to give you the I'm a Trumpster website, where you can go in. It's I-M-A Trumpster, TRUMPSTER.com. And if you need a battle mask, it's battlemask.us.
Okay.
This is America's working together. You know what I mean?
You got it. And your show will be debuting this Sunday afternoon, correct?
Yes.
Is this Sunday or next Sunday?
No, it's on the 14th.
On the 14th.
It'll be a June 14th where we're going to let America call in and express themselves. We're going to let America pick the topic, and they'll be able to talk about what they want to talk about.
And that will
and
be
we're going to go from, yeah, go ahead.
On KLZ 560.
Yeah, we can't wait for that.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll keep you apprised of what's going on. Again, if you want to be part of this, go to I'm a Trumpster and contribute $50, $100. If you can contribute more, that would be awesome. And then you can be part of our Tapas and Topics Girls Party that we're having on June 26th with Reggie and Johnny and the bus. So we're going to go. Gentlemen, have a great day. I value you both
thank
so
you,
much.
Kim.
Thank you. Thank you. And
all right, bye-bye. Thank you.
Let's jump over here. Jason McBride, I got a little long. I'm a little long-winded now that I'm back in the studio here. So welcome to the show.
Well, no, that was an interesting conversation. And, you know, I know Steve is very excited to finally get to crash the party.
That's for sure. Now, I thought I saw a headline, Jason, that the unemployment numbers were coming out either yesterday or today. Is that correct, or did I dream that?
No, I think actually that we just, let me see, I think I see a headline that they just came out. Hold on a sec, Kim.
And let me take a...
Jobless claims, it says 21 continued job. I don't want to try to decipher headlines real quick. And
well, what's the market looking like this morning?
Well, the Dow is, the futures are down 59 points, so okay. Pretty calm right now. Yesterday, though, was a very strong day. The Dow is up over 500, and the NASDAQ at this point, Kim, is only about 1.5% off of the all-time high.
You know, that's so interesting because remember when this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing started and, you know, the market got creamed, and, you know, it was scary at that time. And you and I both talked about opportunity, and, you know, it's so difficult to buy when it's so crazy. And then here we are just a couple of months later, and we're back knocking on near the highs on the NASDAQ. You know, I just find that so interesting, Jason.
Well, it is. And, boy, when this thing came down, I mean, it went straight down. There wasn't any kind of bounces along the way like we often see. I mean, it was just kind of a straight knifing down type of a correction. But boy, as soon as it turned around, I mean, it just has kind of shot straight back up. Again, the NASDAQ has done it with hardly any pause at all. The other indexes kind of paused for 3-4 weeks and went sideways and then took off again. So they're running a little bit behind. But, boy, the rhetoric hasn't changed much about how the world is going to end and all that. But it is interesting how fast the coronavirus faded into the background over the last week, and you almost wouldn't even know it ever existed.
Well, you know, and all these people out that are, you know, rioting and destroying property, you know, maybe these blue Democrat governors and mayors won't arrest them for that, but you certainly would think that they might arrest them for not social distancing, right? Right, Jason?
Well, that's possible. I hear a lot of them are being arrested and then just immediately released so they can go and riot some more. So I don't know what good it's doing to arrest them and then just turn them back out into the street unless we're adopting the democratic procedures for illegal immigrants that, you know, and using them on rioters as well.
Yeah, and, you know, mentioning that, the people that are always advocating for open borders are still, as I mentioned here in Governor Polis's stay-at-home guidelines, he's saying that people should be safer at home or in the vast great outdoors. Apparently he does like borders for law-abiding citizens. So your last thought, Jason McBride, before we go to break.
Well, again, as far as what I do, I think it's good to be vigilant, keep an eye on things. I still think there, you know, we got an election coming. I expect, you know, some kind of dirty tricks to emerge because nothing else seems to have worked so far, and expect volatility. And again, I think, you know, this big bounce, you think about how you might have felt just a couple of months ago. I still think it's not the worst idea in the world to maybe, you know, take a few profits. I'm not saying sell everything you have or put 100% in cash, but boy, if you've had some big gains in the last couple of months, maybe build a little bit of dry powder and see if another opportunity comes along.
Seems like that makes a lot of sense. So I would recommend that people sit down and talk with you, Jason, and your colleagues there at Presidential Wealth Management, because, you know, that old adage to buy low and sell high, you know, that makes some sense. Doesn't mean sell everything, but sometimes raising a little cash is not a bad idea. But we're not giving investment advice. You need to sit down and talk with Jason one-on-one, and you can reach him at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Kim. Have a great show.
Most definitely. We're going to go to break. When we come back, talk about leadership. Representative Kim Ransom, she's on the Joint Budget Committee, and she is one that shows great leadership. She's on the line. We'll talk with her when we come back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. On the line with me is Colorado Representative Kim Ransom. She is on the Joint Budget Committee, and she is a real leader. When we look for leadership, in fact, the House Republicans here in Colorado did send a letter, which we had had on our headlines. I think we took it off. We did have it on there. But Kim Ransom, you and your many of your colleagues there, House Republicans, did send a letter challenging the leadership or lack of leadership thereof here in Colorado regarding all of this COVID-19 break, shutdown and all. So thank you for you and your colleagues' leadership on that, Kim Ransom.
Oh, good morning, Kim, and thank you. Yes, we felt that people can make their own decisions about whether they are in a high-risk group. Then please, they are more than welcome to, you know, shelter in place, stay home, wear a mask, you know, whatever they feel comfortable doing. But there are so many people that just wanted to go out and earn a living, feed their families, make their mortgage payments, pay their rent, keep their businesses afloat. And we did not feel like a one-size-fits-all executive order for the entire state was appropriate or needed. And so, yes, we have been trying to push back all along and let the governor know that people are smart. You know, our citizens know how to make a decision about what's right for themselves and their families.
Yes. So thank you so much for stepping forward making that statement on that. Now let's jump over here. You are on the Joint Budget Committee. And before we went into the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, it looked like there would be a surplus for the state of Colorado and the budget. And there's been almost a $7 billion swing, my understanding, Kim, from what we thought we were going to have to now it looks like what we're going to be short over around $3 billion. You're on the Joint Budget Committee. And so yesterday there was the vote in the House. So tell us, what do we need to know about this?
Well, we did indeed make the cuts. You know, while the legislature was not meeting for almost 2 months, the Joint Budget Committee was we were meeting for part of that time. The rest of the time, we were receiving just stacks of documents from our very hardworking Joint Budget Committee nonpartisan staff, who was looking through the budget through each department, trying to find areas that there were surpluses that could be cut. There were cash funds, there were over expenditures. There were new bills that were implemented last year and this year that had not kicked in yet. And by delaying those implementations, that would be additional money that we could find. And so we literally had to start not just looking through couch cushions, but in my estimation, I thought we needed to actually end programs or suspend programs or cut, you know, end programs that were in place, especially I call them the fluff ones, Kim, and you know what I mean by fluff. Ones that are not the role of government, ones that have been implemented over the years. Sometimes there are duplicate programs. And so we actually last week did have a budget that was not quite balanced, but very close to it. We have to have a balanced budget, and there was one negative placeholder of $202 million that we submitted and turned over to the House to be worked on. It spent a week in the House, and yesterday was the final vote in the House, the third reading vote, and it's now over in the Senate. And I believe they're already working on it. We sent it over in the morning, and I believe they introduced it right away and started working on it. They really are trying to get through. We had actually hoped to do this last Friday or Saturday, and clearly with the destruction and violence and rioting at the Capitol, they closed us down for a few days just out of everybody's safety.
You know, Representative Ransom, I stopped by the Capitol on Monday afternoon, and the protesters were gathering. Oh, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I went and took a look. It made me so sad to see what has happened. There was paint on on the steps, and there was, you know, the paint all, you know, a lot of different places, the Supreme Court, or the judicial building, the windows were all boarded up as well as on the Capitol. Drove by the Brown Palace. There was plywood in the windows. The windows have been broken. I was just really sad when I saw the destruction down there.
I feel exactly the same way. This is a historic building that has so much history in it, and sometimes I'm still in awe as I walk up to the building and look at the Gold Dome and think, you know, I work here. And this was, you know, even in a year or two ago, I would still feel that way, that I'm just in such awe that I get to be a part of this. And to see what these people have felt with just zero respect for the history of the building, and the fact that what they're protesting literally wasn't taking place didn't take place in Colorado. I mean, it was due to an incident in Minnesota. And I think we all felt the same way seeing that video. A lot of the damage happened after that first officer had been arrested for misconduct, and obviously charged with murder. And so I feel, and there's the investigation is going on, and that's for them to deal with and figure out. And just so you know, Kim, when you went there for seeing protesters, you very likely saw what we're thinking of as the first wave. Many times, the ones that are there in the daylight are there really exercising their First Amendment rights of gathering and assembling and making their voices heard and having signs and speeches and rallies. I don't think any of us have 1 ounce of disagreement with their rights to be there and assemble. It's when the new wave would start coming in later in the evening, usually, those were the ones that were bringing the paint, the spray paint, the bricks, you know, the rods, and I didn't see baseball bats, but they were more like rods or clubs that they were using to destroy cars, break windows. All of the first floor doors and windows of the Capitol are now boarded up, and some of them on the second floor too, because they were throwing things through the second floor windows. And I know on the second floor there's plenty of broken glass down in the carpet. So the damage has just escalated, although now over the last couple days I think it's starting to die down, but yeah, it was it's been very sad to see what the later wave, the evening violent rioters were doing.
Well, you know, and I was talking with Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas in the second segment. We're talking about intellectual property rights, and it's inherent in the American idea, the respect of property, and also that people can own property. And I was thinking about it, Representative Ransom, is it's not that different to actually use bricks or rods or whatever to break property, to destroy property, or to use policy and to destroy people's property, their livelihoods as well. And we really have seen that with this overreach of many of these blue governors and blue mayors, that instead of taking a measured leadership kind of response, that they have used this to grab power. And we've seen this with the continued extension, or, you know, these new, well, I guess it's an extension of the disaster executive orders. And the fact that Senator Rob Woodward came out and put forward this joint resolution, I thought was pretty amazing. One, you know, let's go to break and then continue on. There's so much I want to talk to you about, but we need to probably get back to this budget. There was $3 billion that we looked like we needed to cut. Of course, Colorado got the $1.7 billion from the CARES Act. Governor Polis did not send that, my understanding, to the municipalities and the counties. I'm wondering if he used that to try to balance this budget. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Colorado Representative Kim Ransom. She's a member of the Joint Budget Committee. She's been working really hard. So when we come back, let's ask her that question.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is KimMunson.com, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And I had Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas, founders of I'm a Trumpster. They're going to have a new show on KLZ 560 starting on Sunday, June 14th. But we are working with our Tapas and Topics girls. We want to raise $10,000 to help these guys wrap this bus that they're going to take into ethnic communities to move the needle regarding this next election towards Donald Trump. So go to I'm a Trumpster. And if you contribute $50 to $100 or more, that would be awesome to help us raise the $10,000 to wrap this bus. We need to get this done ASAP. And then shoot me an email, or and when you make the contribution, just let them know that you are part of the Tapas and Topics Girls party that we're going to have as well. So, Kim Ransom, representative here in Colorado on the Joint Budget Committee, did Governor Polis hijack the $1.7 billion that he got from the CARES Act to balance the Colorado budget?
Well, I'm not going to use the word hijack, but I will use the word allocated. And when he did it, he made his announcement the week before the legislature went back into session. At that time, since a state of emergency had been declared by him and the legislature was not in session, he did have the ability, I think, legally, to allocate that money and spread it out the way he chose to. However, we have a clip, you know, back on a video that I know, I think I posted on Twitter back that was the day that he spread out the money. But back in April, when we first were hearing about the CARES Act and what how the money was to be used and, you know, how much each state was getting, he said flat out, I want the legislature to appropriate this money. I want the JDC to be part of it. I want this to be done by the legislature. And then 3 or 4 days before we reconvened, he went back and on his word and made a public announcement, you know, issued a press release on how he was going to distribute that money. So with that, that made the budget, the final budget balancing, a little bit more tricky, because all of a sudden we had been working for several weeks on trying to get as much money as we could to different departments, different areas. I know I was prioritizing, what my caucus had asked me to do was save the homestead exemption, you know, don't let them take that away, and put as much money as possible into K-12. You know, try not to have decreases, or if you do, keep them very, very minimal. And then the governor gave $510 million of those CARES Act dollars to K-12. That was not so much a problem, other than the fact that we hadn't seen it coming. So it was, and then there are some very tight restrictions on how that money can be spent. The CARES Act dollars have to be spent by the end of the year. You know, it has to be spent on COVID-related issues. So there are plenty of things that the schools can spend that money on, but we're just not sure if, you know, it's going to be harder for them, too, to figure out how to spend that money, if that makes sense.
Okay. So I think I kind of understand that. So ideally got money over to K-12, but that CARES money really is supposed to be spent on certain things. So I can see how that could be tricky. What about the programs that have not been implemented yet, or the things that were passed before the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, that if they had a fiscal note, what's happening to those programs? Representative Ransom.
Kim, I'm so glad you asked me that, because I was hoping that we were going to be able to touch on that. I really felt that as a fiscally responsible legislator, and I'm not even talking Republican or Democrat at this moment, I'm talking fiscally responsible, there are certain things that you just have to stop. You have to cut back on these programs or just repeal them. And instead, they were delaying them. They might delay them 1 year, or they might pull back some of the money. So ultimately, what we have is a budget where, because we found different cash funds that we were able to use, we were able to shift spending of some of the marijuana tax dollars that would have otherwise been spent next year, we're going to be able to spend them this coming up year. And that's completely legal, and actually it's appropriate, because the revenue stream is more consistent now. The issue is that we are spending one-time dollars on ongoing programs and new programs. Think about in your own house, that would be a very irresponsible thing to do, to start new programs or try to spend one-time money on operating expenses, new mm-hmm, expenses. Mm-hmm. And so we're heading for a train wreck. Just so you know, yesterday, the union bill, I don't think a single Republican voted for the bill to implement unions for state employees in both the House and the Senate. I believe it was party line in both. It requires over 50 FTE. And I'm sorry, I don't know the exact amount of money, but I believe it's north of $1 million. Beyond that's just to have the system in place, the unions in place in the state. That doesn't count the fact that the state employees are going to come in and want a collective bargaining agreement, which means that they're going to want raises and less hours and things like that. That being said, I want us to take care of our employees, but we do. They have great benefits. They have a retirement system. They, you know, good hours. I mean, for the most part, I think we take good care of state employees. Yet they want them to now have a union, which of course means union bosses will be paid out of your taxpayer dollars, Kim. That is a new program that was passed yesterday with not a single Republican vote. Yet now they're trying to spend all this one-time money, and they're going to come in and want tax increases next year and say it's because they couldn't fund schools. Well, guess what? It's because they spent too much money on other programs, including their union bosses. So please get that word out.
Okay, we will stay on that. We only have about a minute left. Kim Ransom, one question. Were any state employees furloughed during this whole disruption?
No, there were none furloughed. Now, we did have some cuts starting July 1. So the budget we're working on now doesn't start until July 1. And what we did was have a decrease on something called personal services, meaning that department heads need to find a 5% cut. That being said, most of them have vacancies right now. So, you know, they have vacant FTE positions that they just won't fill. So that is where a lot of that will come from.
Okay.
At this point, there have been no furloughs announced or suggested.
Okay.
And I don't see them happening.
Okay. So our point very quickly is yesterday the Democrats down at the State House voted to unionize state employees. State employees did not lose their jobs during this when in fact many people have lost their livelihoods. Representative Ransom, we'll have you back. Thank you so much.
Yes, you have a good day, Kim, and thanks for having me on.
Most definitely. And our quote for today is William Pitt. He said, "Unlimited power is apt to corrupt the minds of those who possess it. And this I know, my lords, that where law ends, tyranny begins." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.